Today is the first day of March. Welcome. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. Welcome back around the global campfire. Welcome to a brand new shiny sparkly week. Welcome to a brand new shiny sparkly month. So a lot of beginnings happening here. And we pay attention to that. These rhythms we pay attention to. And so it's our custom. Everybody huddle up here. Brand new week. Look out there. Look out there. Look at all the hills and peaks and valleys out in front of us. This uncharted territory. None of us have been in any of this territory yet. We're looking out at it. That's going to be this week. We've never been there before. And so we have to have open hearts and curiosity about it without this kind of resignation about what it's going to look like. Who knows the adventures? So we pay attention to the fact that we're going to write the story of this week on the tablets of history, our history. And we're going to think it through because it will be made up of the things that we think, the things that we say, the things that we choose, and the things that we do. That will tell the story. So we can let it all happen, or we can plan and make it happen. The choice is ours. It's our life. We get to choose. And so let's choose wisely and consult wisdom and be wise and be safe and do repair work instead of tearing down work, and build up instead of destroy, and mature instead of regress. And it's a brand new month. Brand new month. Look out over that very distant vista, well beyond this week. Look way out there into the distance. See those mountains way out there? What's beyond those? Because we're going there. That's how this month is gonna be. We're gonna walk into it. It doesn't matter how things may have collapsed last month. That was last month. This is this month. We have the story to tell, and we have no choice but to tell it. And so brand new, shiny, sparkly everything is where we are right now. Let's enjoy this moment and walk into it together as a community, with confidence, with humility, and with self-awareness. And let's take the next step forward in the scriptures, which leads us back into the book of Leviticus. It's a brand new week. We'll read from the Christian Standard Bible this week. Leviticus chapter 24, verse 1 through 25, verse 46. The Lord spoke to Moses, "Command the Israelites to bring you pure oil from crushed olives for the light, in order to keep the lamp burning regularly. Aaron is to tend it continually, from evening until morning before the Lord, outside the curtain of the testimony, in the tent of meeting. This is a permanent statute throughout your generations. He must continually tend the lamps on the pure gold lampstand in the Lord's presence. Take fine flour and bake it into 12 loaves. Each loaf is to be made with 4 quarts. Arrange them in 2 rows, 6 to a row, on the pure gold table before the Lord. Place pure frankincense near each row so that it may serve as a memorial portion for the bread and a food offering to the Lord. The bread is to be set out before the Lord every Sabbath day as a permanent covenant obligation on the part of the Israelites. It belongs to Aaron and his sons, who are to eat it in a holy place, for it is the holiest portion for him from the food offerings to the Lord. This is a permanent rule. Now the son of an Israelite mother and an Egyptian father was among the Israelites. A fight broke out in the camp between the Israelite woman's son and an Israelite man. Her son cursed and blasphemed the name, and they brought him to Moses. His mother's name was Shulamith, a daughter of Dibri of the tribe of Dan. They put him in custody until the Lord's decision could be made clear to them. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, "Bring the one who is cursed to the outside of the camp, and have all who heard him lay their hands on his head. Then have the whole community stone him. And tell the Israelites, if anyone curses his God, he will bear the consequences of his sin. Whoever blasphemes the name of the Lord must be put to death. The whole community is to stone him. If he blasphemes the name, he is to be put to death, whether the resident alien or the native. If a man kills anyone, he must be put to death. Whoever kills an animal is to make restitution for it, life for life. If any man inflicts a permanent injury on his neighbor, whatever he has done is to be done to him. Fracture for fracture, eye for eye, tooth for tooth. Whatever injury he inflicted on the person, the same is to be inflicted on him. Whoever kills an animal is to make restitution for it, but whoever kills a person is to be put to death. You are to have the same law for the resident alien and the native, because I am the Lord your God." After Moses spoke to the Israelites, they brought the one who had cursed to the outside of the camp and stoned him. So the Israelites did as the Lord had commanded Moses. The Lord spoke to Moses on Mount Sinai, "Speak to the Israelites and tell them, when you enter the land I am giving you, the land will observe a Sabbath to the Lord. You may sow your field for 6 years, and you may prune your vineyard and gather its produce for 6 years. But there will be a Sabbath of complete rest for the land in the seventh year, a Sabbath to the Lord. You are not to sow your field or prune your vineyard. You are not to reap what grows by itself from your crop, or harvest the grapes of your untended vines. It is to be a year of complete rest for the land. Whatever the land produces during the Sabbath year can be food for you, for yourself, your male or female slave, and the hired worker or alien who resides with you. All of its growth may serve as food for your livestock and the wild animals in your land. You are to count 7 sabbatical years, 7 times 7 years, so that the time period of the 7 sabbatical years amounts to 49. Then you are to sound a ram's horn loudly in the 7th month, on the 10th day of the month. You will sound it throughout your land on the Day of Atonement. You are to consecrate the 50th year and proclaim freedom in all the land for all its inhabitants. It will be your jubilee, when each of you is to return to his property and each of you to his clan. The 50th year will be your jubilee. You are not to sow, reap what grows by itself, or harvest its untended vines. It is to be holy to you because it is the jubilee. You may only eat its produce directly from the field. In this year of jubilee, each of you will return to his property. If you make a sale to your neighbor or purchase from him, do not cheat one another. You are to make the purchase from your neighbor based on the number of years since the last jubilee. He is to sell to you based on the number of remaining harvest years. You are to increase its price in proportion to a greater amount of years, and decrease its price in proportion to a lesser amount of years, because what he is selling to you is a number of harvests. You are not to cheat one another, but fear your God, for I am the Lord your God. You are to keep my statutes and ordinances and carefully observe them, so that you may live securely in the land. Then the land will yield its fruit so that you can eat, be satisfied, and live securely in the land. If you wonder, What will we eat in the seventh year if we don't sow or gather our produce? I will appoint my blessing for you in the sixth year so that it will produce a crop sufficient for 3 years. When you sow in the eighth year, you will be eating from the previous harvest. You will be eating this until the ninth year when its harvest comes in. The land is not to be permanently sold because it is mine and you are only aliens and temporary residents on my land. You are to allow the redemption of any land you occupy. If your brother becomes destitute and sells part of his property, his nearest relative may come and redeem what his brother has sold. If a man has no family redeemer, but he prospers and obtains enough to redeem his land, he may calculate the years since its sale, repay the balance to the man he sold it to, and return to his property. But if he cannot obtain enough to repay him, what he sold will remain in the possession of its purchaser until the year of Jubilee. It is to be released at the Jubilee so that he may return to his property. If a man sells a residence in a walled city, his right of redemption will last until a year has passed after its sale. His right of redemption will last a year. If it is not redeemed by the end of a full year, then the house in the walled city is permanently transferred to its purchaser throughout his generations. It is not to be released on the Jubilee. But houses in settlements that have no walls around them are to be classified as open fields. The right to redeem such houses stays in effect, and they are to be released at the Jubilee. Concerning the Levitical cities, the Levites always have the right to redeem houses in the cities they possess. Whatever property one of the Levites can redeem, a house sold in a city they possess, is to be released at the Jubilee, because the houses in the Levitical cities are their possession among the Israelites. The open pasture land around their cities may not be sold, for it is their permanent possession. If your brother becomes destitute and cannot sustain himself among you, you are to support him as an alien or temporary resident, so that he can continue to live among you. Do not profit or take interest from him, but fear your God and let your brother live among you. You are not to lend him your silver with interest or sell him your food for profit. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt to give you the land of Canaan and to be your God. If your brother among you becomes destitute and sells himself to you, you must not force him to do slave labor. Let him stay with you as a hired worker or temporary resident. He may work for you until the year of Jubilee. Then he and his children are to be released from you, and he may return to his clan and his ancestral property. They are not to be sold as slaves, because they are my servants that I brought out of the land of Egypt. You are not to rule over them harshly, but fear your God. Your male and female slaves are to be from the nations around you. You may purchase male and female slaves. You may also purchase them from the aliens residing with you or from their families living among you, those born in your land. These may become your property. You may leave them to your sons after you to inherit as property. You can make them slaves for life. But concerning your brothers, the Israelites, you must not rule over one another harshly. Mark 10, 13 through 31. People were bringing little children to him in order that he might touch them, but the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw it, he was indignant and said to them, "Let the little children come to me. Don't stop them, because the kingdom of God belongs to such as these." truly, I tell you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." After taking them in his arms, he laid his hands on them and blessed them. As he was setting out on a journey, a man ran up, knelt down before him, and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "Why do you call me good?" Jesus asked him. "No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your father and mother." He said to them, "Teacher, I have kept all these from my youth." Looking at him, Jesus loved him and said to him, "You lack one thing. Go, sell all you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." But he was dismayed by this demand, and he went away grieving because he had many possessions. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it is for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God." The disciples were astonished at his words. Again, Jesus said to them, "Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God." They were even more astonished, saying to one another, "Then who can be saved?" Looking at them, Jesus said, "With man it is impossible, but not with God, because all things are possible with God." Peter began to tell him, "Look, we have left everything and followed you." "Truly, I tell you," Jesus said, "there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for my sake and for the sake of the gospel who will not receive 100 times more, now at this time, houses, brothers and sisters, mothers and children and fields with persecutions, and eternal life in the age to come. But many who are first will be last, and the last first." Psalm 44, 9-26. "But you have rejected and humiliated us. You do not march out with our armies. You make us retreat from the foe, and those who hate us have taken plunder for themselves. You hand us over to be eaten like sheep and scatter us among the nations. You sell your people for nothing. You make no profit from selling them. You make us an object of reproach to our neighbors, a source of mockery and ridicule to those around us. You make us a joke among the nations, a laughingstock among the peoples. My disgrace is before me all day long, and shame has covered my face because of the taunts of the scorner and reviler, because of the enemy and avenger. All this has happened to us, but we have not forgotten you or betrayed your covenant. Our hearts have not turned back. Our steps have not strayed from your path. But you have crushed us in a haunt of jackals and have covered us with deepest darkness. If we had forgotten the name of our God and spread out our hands to a foreign God, wouldn't God have found this out, since he knows the secrets of the heart? Because of you, we are being put to death all day long. We are counted as sheep to be slaughtered. Wake up, Lord. Why are you sleeping? Get up. Don't reject us forever. Why do you hide and forget our affliction and oppression? for we have sunk down to the dust. Our bodies cling to the ground. Rise up, help us, redeem us because of your faithful love. Proverbs 10, 20 and 21. The tongue of the righteous is pure silver. The heart of the wicked is of little value. The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for lack of sense. Father, we thank you for your word. And here we are, brand new month, brand new week, and just travel, acclimation from a grand adventure. As we settle in, we invite your Holy Spirit to lead us into all truth this week and this month. May this week begin the right steps in the right direction that carry us in a pattern through the rest of this month. That what we do and what we say is good and honorable and pleasing to you. That what we think is pure and holy. That the actions that we take are true and faithful and loyal. And may that make a difference in the lives of those around us. We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. Welcome back, everybody, to another edition. It's a special edition.
Yeah.
From Jordan, of whatever this is, with Ryan.
And Jill. Why is this special?
Well, I mean, we have so much to tell you about what we did, but clearly, clearly the world is crazy.
I thought it was because we were having a pizza party.
Well, we did that in response.
No, I think we did this because I literally felt like if I ate chicken and rice one more time, it was going to start coming out of my ears.
You aren't the only one.
Yeah.
So we had these two different traditional chicken and rice dishes at lunch. And I was like, okay, listen.
It's not often you get real forceful about food. But today,
well, I didn't say anything forceful.
No,
but I was appreciative.
But just the, okay, listen, was real cute. I jokingly said it's pizza night, and then we just went with it.
We just figured it out. Got some Papa Johnny B's.
Oh! Papa Johnny B's.
Ah.
It tasted the same as American Papa John's, which
was not like awesome, but
familiar, I've had worse.
Like familiar. And
yeah. We've definitely had worse pizza.
It wasn't chicken and rice.
And it wasn't like school cafeteria pizza either, so.
And we probably shouldn't come down or come at chicken and rice too hard. I love
me some chicken and rice of any variation.
And there are many around here.
Yes. Especially with that hot pepper. Oof.
But we have had them all four times. So
yeah,
it was just like,
just needed a break. I needed a timeout. Yeah.
From a reset.
Yes. But that's not why we're here to talk about Papa Johnny B's.
Yeah.
Or chicken and R-I-C-E.
Yeah, guys. So we have some catching up to do because we have really seen some really, I mean, a lot, like from the Edomite capital to Petra to
the Lot cave.
To Lot's cave where
a whole lot.
One of the craziest stories in the Bible happened.
A lot.
To the Dead Sea from the Jordanian side, like a lot.
But first and foremost, we are safe.
We are safe. And that's mostly, you know, we're not actually going to talk a whole lot and get into all that. We will. But, you know, I guess it's pretty much world news that some things have, you know, happened in a military way. And we are not in the middle of it.
Mm-mm.
So we are in Jordan. And I guess that puts us kind of in the middle of it, but not in any kind of danger at this point.
We're not in danger, and we're not seeing frantic people here.
And we are not, like, alone.
Right.
And without support. And, yeah, I mean, it's disconcerting.
Yeah.
To be, you know, not just watching this a world away on the news or, you know, online or whatever, to be, you know, to hear sirens or whatever is,
yeah,
we only hear those four tornadoes.
Mm-hmm.
And so there are some differences, but we are not being unwise. We are not at risk. And
and we're getting lots of advice from trusted people. Not sources, trusted people.
Very, very trusted people and friends on this in this part of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And friends in Israel who, you know, are giving us advice while they are sheltering.
Right.
In bomb shelters. So
they're like, you are best to stay where you are.
You are safe where you are. Continue doing what you're doing. And so, you know, we're a community. And so, and we're a global campfire and we care about each other. And
mm-hmm.
thank you for caring about us. And before this ever began, we asked for a canopy of prayer over all of it. And that has happened. And
mm-hmm.
you know, we've been traveling quite a long time, so a lot has happened with, you know, we've been with a lot of people, and it has just been smooth, and it's not unsmooth now. It's just disruption.
Right. We're not being frivolous. We want to be home with our family. That is our most, our highest hope, but we want to do it safely and within the best interest of us with what is happening in the world and with the wisdom of those trusted sources.
Yeah.
And
just the realities of, like, airspace, like, these realities.
Right.
So, you know, tomorrow we would have gotten on and shared some last thoughts because we would be heading back.
Mm-hmm.
That is impossible.
Yeah.
At this point. So our extended play Jordan edition is going to get a remix.
Oh.
And we're going to give you the remix edition for the next couple of days. Actually, probably, I mean, we'll be back. We'll be back soon. There's really a lot to share biblically of what we've seen and felt and experienced, but
yeah.
We're going to go back into the deep desert and get quiet and get some rest.
Can I just say this one thing?
Maybe.
I don't want it to sound as if this is very nonchalant to us.
Yeah.
At the same time, like, I was texting with a friend, a couple of friends have reached out to us to make sure that we're okay.
And, right.
I just told her, we're trusting God. We're being wise. We're listening.
Yeah.
We're watching. We're praying. And we're trusting. We are trusting God. We've gotten pretty good at that. We're not experts by any means. But we have been in some real good practice over the last few years of our lives of taking it day by day.
Yeah.
Step by step, minute by minute.
Yeah.
And to hold on to our peace. And I've, like, this trip has really made me think a lot about peace. That inner tranquility. And so I think when you have that, you don't panic and freak out. Even when you're uncertain of what is happening. And so I don't want what we're talking about right now to sound like we're not taking things very serious.
And I don't want what you just said to sound like we've got this. God's got it. Like,
not at all.
It's not like this isn't disruptive or challenging.
Absolutely.
Or very unique or whatever. Disruption always is. I guess what I'm getting from what you're saying and that I agree with is this is just another series in the events of disruption of life, and we're not in any immediate danger, and we're not going to put ourselves in that kind of position.
Right.
We are just going to have to roll and adapt. And that's kind of a disappointment. You're tired.
Yeah, I had a big meltdown last night.
You know, you're worn out and ready to kind of go back. And so we get up this morning, and literally, guys, we were in the desert and visiting Edomite territory, but Nabataean area territory called Petra, which is, you know, one of the wonders of the world. I mean, I don't remember. We were there. I don't remember how deep into it we were. I think we were literally sitting at the, you know, the treasury, like this iconic place in Petra.
Right.
Just getting a briefing because we're going to be walking around for a couple of hours. And so we're just sitting there having coffee and...
with our guide.
You know, our guide's like, here's what's going on. Here's what just happened. Because for us, you know, like we're in the same part of the world, the same zones. And so we're finding out about it like within 15 minutes. You know, it's taking most of our friends who are in different parts of the world hours and hours and hours to kind of wake up, find out. And
right.
We're finding out and in it within minutes. So, but the interesting thing is we just kind of like, what else is there to do besides continue?
Right.
Put one foot in front of the other. Move forward. We were in an awesome place that is awesome.
Yeah.
And as the day progressed, we had to pivot a lot of times just in communications, getting updates, getting clarity, getting counsel, beginning to work. Like, we were supposed to go back into Israel, go to Tel Aviv, get on a plane, fly back to the United States. And the borders are closed. We're not going to do that. The flight is canceled. We need to pivot. We need to figure out how to fly from Jordan.
But it was slightly confusing because our flight wasn't canceled for a long time. So we were like, are we going to go or are we not going to go? Like, what? We're pivoting back and forth on one foot than the other.
Basically, we're talking through what we're going to decide when we get to make a decision.
Yeah.
But we did. And so we're pivoting. But the reality is, you know, we're going to leave from Jordan, and that's going to take a few more days. And so thank you for your prayers.
Yeah.
Sure. Certainly prayers for our safety, but, you know, just rest. We need, you know, we need to rest, and we will.
And I'm glad that you said what you said, because I in no way am trying to sound like we've got this.
Or, yeah.
I think what I'm saying is there's a balance, and trusting God is, we make it sound really easy.
I feel like we've been through way worse than this. way worse than this. So.
And I think it also really kind of shows you, like, when you dig deep within yourself, those fears, those things that maybe once made you really afraid, mm-hmm. because there would be a time in my life that was not too long ago, that I would sheer panic for the sake of, I don't even know.
Drama?
Yeah.
The experiencing of?
Drama, chaos. Mm-hmm. But when you sit with those fears, like, are those my fears? Am I really afraid of this? Or was fear inflicted?
Mm-hmm.
And I was expected to be afraid because these are somebody else's fears that they sort of handed expectation of the same response.
Yeah.
And when you just get some healing and some clarity, it's like, yeah, there's nothing I can do about this. And there's, I had a lot of emotion today. I think we both did.
Yeah, there's.
But it was more sadness of, nobody wins here. It's.
Yeah, there's just.
Complicated.
I mean, we're not qualified to peel back the complication and, you know, be in a place to even have an opinion.
No.
So much. It's easy enough to have an opinion about what serves us best, but how God may look or what serves his people best, we're not really in a position, and we never have, and never, we never have wandered into any of these kinds of territories mm-hmm. ever, because if you want to hear people talking about things, you got lots of places to get that.
Absolutely.
And what we might or might not think is really, we're not qualified. We're in our lane and we're staying in our lane and doing what we are supposed to do. So just sharing where we are, what's going on, how it's happening and unfolding.
And maybe just offering a place of safety where you can have a reprieve from opinion and chaos and fear and just... like, come have a pizza party with us.
And I think you just mentioned sadness, and the sadness was maybe 20% that we don't get to leave tomorrow, but 80% about how this actually affects people wherever they actually are.
I mean,
where this is actually. Either way, on either in any place where this is actually affecting a human being.
Yeah.
In any sort of way, because we get zoomed out and it, you know, it's a game and it's a team and it's who's going to win. And mm-hmm. when it's actually zooming in, it's, this is no matter where this is, you know, no matter where these volleys are hitting, there are people. Who have kids and they are kids and, you know, just people trying to navigate having to navigate in a much more disruptive and difficult way than we are. That's sad. I guess that's humanly sad. So maybe it has to be this way. Maybe this is the way of the world. Maybe. But this is not the way God intends his kingdom or his people to work.
Yeah.
I think we can actually speak to that. That this is not supposed to be.
So glad you said that. Like, I'm just so glad that you said that. Because even hearing you say that, that emotion takes me over again. That we're sitting at lunch, the sirens go off.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not afraid. Like, there's nothing in me that's afraid, but I'm like, the reality is
something's about to happen to somebody.
It's irreversible.
Yeah.
And there's human hearts behind that. It's just so sad to me. It's so sad that nobody wins.
And these kinds of things play out really sad in the Bible.
But this is just a new version of an ancient tale.
Yeah.
Of humanity doing, you know, what humanity does when it's lost.
Yeah.
And so...
And even, you know, us saying this, I'm like... We're also aware. We're also aware of what is behind that. We do not need to be educated in that. This is just what our perspective of what we're choosing to hold on to in the midst of this.
So. I mean, gosh, there's no, I don't know. There's just no way for us to actually, we can't comment. We can say that it was really sad. I was really sad. To talk to a friend, somebody that we work with. You know, somebody I care about, who's helping us figure out what we're gonna do from a bomb shelter.
Right.
That's sad.
Yeah. It's hard.
So, but figuring out how to fix things or, you know, what's good and right and appropriate, and I have no idea. That's not what I am here for.
Right.
Other than to ask God's wisdom and his care for his people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was thinking about the story of Joseph today.
Yeah.
When his brothers, you know, the story of Joseph, we read it a little while ago in chronological, but the story of his brothers, when his brothers find out that it's him, and he says to them, no, you didn't do this. God did this. God allowed me to be here knowing that I would have to save you one day, feed you one day, and take care of you.
Yeah.
And all I could think of is maybe there's something more for us to do here in Jordan that we don't even know about.
Yeah.
Not that we're doing anything, but maybe there's just another view God wants to show us. And I'm just open to whatever. He may or may not, and I also would really like to go home at this point. So,
yeah, that's clear. So it is, you know, it's, yeah, but we can't.
No.
And so we're going to, you know, do what we need to do. See some things that we weren't planning and didn't think we'd get to. Surprisingly cool and good things.
Yeah.
And we'll stay safe and stay hopeful.
Yeah.
And then we will eventually, in a few days, get to leave all of this and be safely back in the rolling hills of Tennessee. And we will certainly share. You know, we've had a couple of days that we have seen a lot.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of Bible stuff. Like, we have hit it. Our guide is like, you have taken me to places I haven't seen in 20 years.
Yeah.
Our driver is like, I feel like I'm the tourist. I have been places I have never been in my own country, and I have been driving for 28 years.
It's actually really sweet. Every time we're at a place that he has never been. He gets out and he giggles and he gets his phone out and takes pictures right along with us. And we're kind of just the joke of like, oh, he's never been on this road before.
No, and this is a Muslim guy practicing Ramadan.
Mm-hmm.
Fasting all day.
Mm-hmm.
Saying his prayers. And we're going to all of these biblical places.
Mm-hmm.
And he has never been to them. And
he's fasting and he's buying us drinks and snacks and taking care of us. And
I mean, we went into this restaurant today and because things kind of have happened and this kind of stuff profoundly affects people that are in tourism.
Yeah.
So, you know, this kind of thing causes kind of panic in people who are in a country, but also completely cancels a bunch of people who are coming in. So like 30 groups working with, you know, the team that got us in here canceled. So the repercussions of that is that hotels are empty, restaurants are empty that are booked and stuff. And we know this whole, we do this every year. We know what goes involved, how this affects.
Yeah.
And it's a ripple effect. So we're like going to lunch.
Souvenir shop owners are
everything on down the line.
Yeah.
Everything gets affected in this kind of industry. And it's, and we're in Jordan. Like this is driven, every, you know, like caused incredible disruptions to people going to Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm grateful.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm grateful. We literally, last time we were in Israel, left Israel and the world shut down for COVID.
Mm-hmm.
Like within days, we got to do our tour and within days, the world shut down.
Yeah.
We came, this is the first time we got to come back. We got to do our tour completely. Everybody was safe.
No, we have been back one other time.
Since then?
Yeah.
Oh, we have been back one time.
2020 was...
But we just, like, again, we did our thing.
Mm-hmm.
We prayed, God, let us go. We had a canopy of prayer over us. We got everybody in. We kept everybody safe. Everybody got to go home.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's, this is just a volatile part of the world. And it's volatile in the Bible and it's volatile now.
Yeah.
And so...
You were saying we were literally
This restaurant finding lunch.
Yeah.
The only person there was the owner because nobody else came in. So he cooked our food.
Right.
And served it. And our bus driver, who's fasting, helped him. And he's not a server.
Yeah.
He's not a, you know, cook. He's not a...
And they wouldn't let us get up and help get silverware and plates. No, 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 no.
So he's carrying the plates and he's putting them down in front of us and bring, you know... So the hospitality, I mean, it's in every small place. When you zoom in and you're just human to human, a lot of this stuff goes away.
Yeah.
And it's beautiful to see.
Yeah.
So I don't know what else to say, really, guys. Like, this is what's happening as it's happening. For us, we're just asking you for prayers because we ask for that every, like we need that every day, whether we're here or standing in front of a mic, looking out the window at the rolling hills of Tennessee, because we get hammered all the time doing what we do, doing it every day. No matter what happens, we do it every day. So,
yeah. I think I would just ask in a very loving way, like, please don't panic. Please don't panic for us. Please just don't panic. Pray. But the panic is, it can be so contagious and it can be.
We can actually become addicted to the adrenaline and dopamine of chaos and drama, and then need it to continue so we can keep getting the hit, which only robs us of our peace and confuses us in our choices, which invariably leads us on paths that are destructive, and it's not necessary.
What you just said was... That was lit, babe. I don't know what the right...
It was the pepperoni.
I don't know what the cool context, relevant word is. That felt very spirit-led. I would ask you to say it again, but you wouldn't be able to quote it.
Not the same way.
That was so well said.
Thank you.
And so true. We get so addicted to the chaos.
Yeah. So, to what you're saying, pray for us that we use wisdom, which we intend to. Pray for God's will to be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Yeah.
Pray for wisdom all the way around. And we're gonna pivot and continue our journey a few extra days than we planned. And we will be excited in some way or another to bring you into that. And, you know, we'll post some updates on our channels just to let you know we're good. And show you some of the things that we haven't had a chance to kind of share with words. As we go, we're probably not going to be able to connect this way with whatever this is for probably at least 24 hours, because what we've decided to do with some of our time is pretty well go into the middle of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
Where there is a place where there is nearly zero light pollution so that we can see the stars and the Milky Way and experience utter silence.
Yeah.
And that was not on the radar or planned.
Yeah, we just kept saying next time, maybe we can come back. And maybe we can do something like that. And so it goes.
And so we, I don't know if it's making lemonade out of a situation, but I don't think we're going to have cell coverage. So.
And it may be even longer than that. So I guess just grace for. For us taking some time to do...
If you don't hear us here on whatever this is, we will be trying to just, as we can, putting a little thing on the channels to say, we're good.
Yeah.
Thank you for praying for us. Like we did today.
Yeah.
And so... And then, you know, once... I mean, eventually, we'll be back. We have a lot to tell you.
Yeah.
Like Lot's cave.
Like a lot of cave. But even today, you know, we're there and walking, but we're so preoccupied. I don't even know how we would, you know, tear that apart. So.
Absolutely. So.
We love you all, and we're so grateful that you care and that you pray and that you just show up.
And we're not alone because you're here in our suitcase.
Yeah.
And I know you're getting sick of the smell of your clothes that smell like suitcase, just like we are.
Oh, yeah. That was part of the meltdown. Like, Jill can't wear the smell of dirty clothes. And I'm as clean as I can get them, washing them and a sink.
Yeah.
So I would really like to chop up some food and cook it too.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
But we're just so grateful to be here, to be safe, to have this community, to be able to trust God because he's faithful when we are not.
Yeah.
And hopefully we'll be home soon.
Yep, we will.
But wash that's our all, clothes.
Yeah, that's all we've got for today.
Make some spaghetti.
I just hope you don't make chicken and rice for a while.
I have nothing. There's no shade on the chicken and rice, but there is no chicken going in my grocery order at all.
Well, praise the Lord.
For a bit.
That's all for today, friends. We love you. I'm Brian.
I'm Jill.
And it may not be tomorrow, but we will be waiting for you soon. And we love you. And
love one another.
Hi, TAB family. This is Sherry Williams, and I wanted to call in and pray for a couple people that left a prayer request. The first one is covered in his blood. She was talking about Emma, I believe it was her sister, that was having a lot of medical issues, and that she was in almost a vegetable state, and they were concerned about her husband, Chris, and the two granddaughters they were supposed to get custody of. So I just wanted to pray that God would give you a miraculous healing for Emma, peace for her husband, and a safe and stable home for the two granddaughters. The other person was Valerie in Northwest Arkansas. She said she was very, very depressed. I have been there so many times. You just sounded like me when you left your message. And I just want to let you know there's always hope in Christ. He is always there. He never leaves us, never forsakes us. And he is always near the brokenhearted. So please don't give up. I'm going to pray that God changes your situation very quickly. And for both of you guys, I just want to say, remember what God said. This is Genesis 18:14. Is anything too hard for the Lord? And of course, we know the answer is no. So I just pray for both of you. I love you both, and you will be in my prayers. Bye.
Good morning. Daily Audio family, Daily Audio Bible family. I am Ty Bingley. We're the Bingleys, and I'm asking for prayer. I am having a tough season. My family has been struggling financially, and I have been holding on to scripture and word just for God to show up. I know the struggling is due to child support. And as I believe that it's important to take care of your children, I feel like to an extent, sometimes this institute can be used to cripple and hurt families and divide families more than put them together. But long story short, I'm just asking for prayer. I'm married with a new baby, Naomi. My wife is Nikki. And we're in the Georgia area, Atlanta. We're just praying for God's hand to bless us, for us to not to be discouraged, and for our faith to be heightened. I know through this time, we've been just stretched and tears and everything. I know sometimes God comes through, God uses people, but I know it sometimes it's a matter of faith. So I'm just praying that brothers and sisters, that you can pray by faith to just encourage us and help us to see the light, see that we're going to be okay. Financially, we're just struggling and needing a blessing and a favor from the Lord. God bless you guys. Amen.
Hello, Daily Audio Bible family. This is Shantae calling from Port St. Lucie, Florida. And I just want to say to the people that call in, and I mean, they pour out their heart, Sparky, Just Right for Jesus, so many others. I want to be able to do that as well. I really do. I have it on my heart to do it, but for whatever reason, I've been holding back. So if you all could just pray for me in regards to that. So I just wanted to put that out there. But also, I want to say congratulations to Rebecca on her approval for her new place. Praise God. I'm so excited for you. And then who else was it that I wanted to call in for? Junk to Treasure, definitely lifting you up with your furnace and your children and your grandchildren, just praying for healing all around and provision all around. Let's see. I know there's somebody else. Kay in Ohio, thank you, sister, for just how you just speak life to the people that that God places on your heart. And I just really admire you. And, well, I guess that's pretty much it for now. But, yeah, I want to call in more. It's on my heart to do it. Yes, of course, I want to be led by Holy Spirit in doing that. And so that's why I'm calling right now. So anyway, love you all. Talk with you later. Bye-bye.
Good evening, Daily Audio Bible. This is Walking in the Light in Tennessee. And I say evening. It's evening here, but, you know, we're a worldwide group, so it could be any time of day at any moment. So whenever you're listening, greetings to you. I love you all. I called because I heard Soaring on Eagle's Wings. Come on and pray for Rebecca in Michigan, which I do often. And then the thing that was so amazing is that as soon as Soaring on Eagle's Wings finished praying for Rebecca and a change in her location so that she could get to work and be in a better place for driving and everything that she's been asking for, then Rebecca comes on immediately after and begins to thank the DAB because she has been given an opportunity to relocate, exactly what she's been praying for. She's all excited about it. And of course, this was like one call and then the next call, and God answers prayers. And that's all I wanted to say. God answers prayers. And so, and then Rebecca finished with something that was really funny. She said, do you think that there's a big enough God to help me to find people to move? Are you kidding me? Absolutely. God is a good God. This is Walking in the Light in Tennessee. I'm praying for some miracles myself. I love you all. I love the DAB. And keep walking in the light. Have a great day. Bye.